no way that person could have won. You weren't happy if it went this way, and you weren't going to be happy if it went that way. I don't know what makes you think that. I'm certainly not happy with that statement.
And nobody's happy. Yeah, but you know the problem, what are you allowing your thoughts to think? Are you thinking of the illusion of the world as if it is real? If so, you are expressing your desire to accept the veil of darkness. You know, again, this is like you said a while ago, this is, you know, who are you listening to? Which voice are you listening to? The voice for ego or the voice for Holy Spirit? And if you listen to the voice for ego, is that your true desire? You know, you just gotta hold it up to the, you know, the crucible, the test.
Right.
You know, does this look more like column A or column B?
Right.
And what do I want?
Yeah, and I liked it when you said it a few minutes ago. It was like the rules for decision. I chose to have a happy day. Am I going to let this experience change my day, or am I going to stick with I chose to have a happy day?
Yeah, how cheaply we sell our happiness.
I know. Yeah, for a trinket of I'm right, and I don't know why these people can't get this right along with me.
Right. And of course, I mean, we can certainly see from that how that's a, you know, I guess Michael Langford would call it an ego preservation strategy. You know, but you can see how it's, you know, the I am right is the ultimate building block
Oh yeah, the
the
ego.
ego. I am right, I exist.
Yeah.
And you're wrong, you're a fool. That makes me exist even more.
Exist on.
Right. So, you know, so really the illusion, I mean, you can see how invested you are, and
In
I
being
am
right.
too, in the self, in the need to maintain a separate sense of self, or to maintain that false sense of self.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
that's all that serves.
Oh yeah, I could have easily come out of that gas station going, "You ain't me," and not let that ego jump up and let me be anything other than kind.
Or even neutral would have been an improvement.
It would have been a great improvement. The clerk would have thought so.
So again, you must ask, is this your true desire? If not, why do you permit yourself to express it through the activity of your thoughts? Watch your thoughts. Ask them to express your true desire.
Wow.
Your thoughts must do as you ask because you are the thinker of your thoughts. Let them express your true desire. If they do not, let them go. Yeah, and this is it kind of says it seems to be saying one thing at the beginning of the paragraph and another at the end. I prefer what it says at the end, but I assume it's consistent throughout, and any inconsistency is overlaid on it by me. So let's read this again. Watch your thoughts. Ask them to express your true desire. Your thoughts must do as you ask because you are the thinker of your thoughts. Let them express your true desire. If they do not, let them go. And so, the paradox in here is that, you know, the truth of who we are is beyond the thoughts. But the thoughts that seem to come to us can either drive us deeper into illusion or to a lower vibration, or can lift us out of illusion, right, and into our awareness or to a higher vibration. And so that's really the job here is choose the thoughts that express your true desire. And if you see thoughts that don't express your true desire, then feel free to say, you ain't me, right?
Right.
You know, I don't have to think that thought. The fact that regardless of the mechanism by which a thought appears to the mind, you don't have to claim it and go, yeah, what he said.
Yeah.
You do suck. Right? I mean, yeah. You don't have to follow that thought train. You,
yeah.
Or even the single thought. You don't have to identify with that thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, most of us have been so raised in the world that if we have a thought, we think, oh, that's me.
Yeah, and we either defend it or if we're ashamed of it.
Hide it if we're ashamed of it. We can defend it if we think somebody's pushing us to in a position where we need to defend it. But always we're associated with it. And that's what was so great about the movie The Revolver when he goes, you ain't me, because he disassociates with these thoughts that are in his head going, you know, Jake, it's you and me, and he's going, No, you ain't me.
Yeah.
This is not the real me.
Yeah, and that's the surrender. You know, we talk about a separate will, but there's not really a separate will. That's the surrender of the mind. That's the surrender of the allegiance to the mind, right?
Yes.
And surrendering into the heart instead.
Yes. Right.
Where you can go, I don't have to think that thought.
I don't,
you know, even though I've thought it for 56 years.
Exactly.
It's not a thought I wish to keep.
Yeah.
It doesn't express my true desire. And therefore, I'll let it go.
Yeah, it didn't express my truth.
Right.
Right.
And just because it appeared.
Right. And before, if it appeared, it was me.
Right.
Oh, that must be me. Oh, I'm a little ashamed of that. Well, maybe I won't tell everybody how I feel.
Or maybe I'll build a story around it and so I can justify it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of that that seems to go on. Cool. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see.
16 through 18, I think.
Thank you, yeah. Page 313, NTI. Fix your eyes and your thoughts on the true desire of your heart. Not because it is your hope for the future, but because it is your reality now. You are what your heart tells you that you are. Only you do not see it because you do not focus yourself there. Yeah, it's interesting, this little insert. I've got a bunch of these, maybe every part of it. I do. I have every sentence in that paragraph underlined except the one that I want to talk about now. So let's look at this again. Fix your eyes and your thoughts on the true desire of your heart, not because it is your hope for the future, but because it is your reality now. And, you know, we often, you know, certainly with that whole reward punishment thing, that whole seeker thing, you know, we're like, you know, if I get this right, if I do this right, then maybe even if you're not looking for some kind of eternal reward in heaven, right, you are, you're still seeing, you know, if I can just, you know, say these things right and get rid of the wrong thoughts and get the right thoughts, then I'll become a better self. I'll become my higher self. Somehow I and my higher self will merge, right? But it's like, that's all, you know, maybe it doesn't really say that's all well and good. I'll say that's all well and good. But the point of this is the reason that we're emphasizing to turn from these thoughts to the heart is so that you can have that experience in this moment of the truth of who you are. Not so that you can someday, you know, realize that all the time.
Yeah.
No, so you can have that experience in this moment. So you can go to your heart and, like we were talking about a while ago, go to your heart and go, is this true?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that becomes your barometer instead of going to the mind and going, hey, is this true? The heart said, listen to what the heart said right now. But
well, and it goes back to that kind of that Byron Katie that you said, being enlightenment and never being enlightened.
Yeah.
In every given moment is what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had plenty of teachers go, this course is not about making you a better person. That's what we all think when we get started on the path, that that's what we're going to be, a better person. But it's not about that. It's having that deep resonating peace with you in every given moment.
That lies beyond the person.
That lies beyond the person, exactly.
You are what your heart tells you that you are, only you do not see it because you do not focus yourself there. You focus yourself on your thoughts. You know, I've had so much going on lately, selling that house that you all heard me whine and whine and whine about, working on this condo. I got stuff going on in the state I manage. I mean, it just seems like a lot. It seems like a lot. And a couple of times over the last week or so, I was just getting really kind of frenetic, you know. And then I got to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to, you know. And, you know, that's not the heart. Pretty sure that's not the heart. You know, that's being run by the mind, right? See what I mean? So, you know, my focus has been on, you know, got to get this done, this done, this done, so I can get my butt out to Colorado where I belong, right?
And then I'll have peace
and
of mind.
And then I'll have peace of mind. Exactly. It's not about, you know, it's not about that. It's about, you know, and what I have discovered is that it truly is there. If I want to, if I want to sit and journal, if I want to sit in meditation, if I want to spend time with the gentle healing tips, the lessons, spend time with the thought of the day, you know, it's in those times that I'm able to connect with the truth of my being, connect with, you know, with my heart. Now, that's made considerably more difficult if I've been going all day and then want to turn to that, right? But it's just a matter of focus. It's not like, you know, I'm bad if I spent all day in my head or all week in my head. It's just like, you know, it's just a distracted focus, you know. If I can focus on my heart, I can access the truth of my being. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, again, it's surrendering the mind and what the mind thinks you ought to do, and da da da, how you ought to react and how you ought to act and what you ought to do next. It's surrendering that and going, you know, I may need to do some of those things, but that's not where my truth is. You know, my truth doesn't lie out there in some distant Colorado future.
Right.
If I want to experience the truth of my being, I need to turn my focus from all that stuff that's going on now, that seems to be going on now, really it's thoughts about the future, and actually then to the presence of now, to the presence of the truth that's within me right now. It's just a focus shift. You know, Locke Kelly talked to us about it in that interview we had with him I don't know, a year ago or whatever it was, about it's just a matter of shifting the focus. It's of shifting the focus from the thinker of the thoughts, or from the thoughts to the observer.
Well, because actually I've been going through the same thing myself. I've been waking up thinking about different things that need to be done, or, you know, how's that going to be handled, and, oh, gosh, this is going to be done. And, you know, the same thing basically that you're doing. Maybe not quite the stress, but, and just feeling a whole sense of dissatisfaction for life itself, because this is where my thoughts are. And so becoming aware that this is not where I want my focus. That these things will work themselves out.
Or not even.
Or not even. Most likely they'll work themselves out, and you don't have to sit and think, oh, you know, it's a waste of time, however you look at it. And where I really want my focus and where I really find my satisfaction is when I'm involved in the spiritual thoughts or
practice. Or,
practice.
Yeah. Hoorah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that recognition is, you know, a major whatever. I mean, you know, it's something that you can, you know, you're not going to continue to focus on your thoughts and realize your true self, because it's not your true self, you know, and that's what he started out here saying. I ask you to quit looking at the world and look in your heart. Yeah. Oh, well, there's an idea.
Yeah. Or your thoughts about the world.
Yeah. Yeah, look in your
heart associations
instead.
With the world.
So, to follow that up, let's see how this this chapter ends.
Somebody may have said something on the board.
Kathy said, or I don't know. Sorry, Kathy, I didn't look at the right time. To know specifically what you don't know. I know what I don't know, and I don't know nothing. let's read these last two paragraphs. I'll start up with the last two sentences of the paragraph we just read. You are what your heart tells you that you are, only you do not see it, because you do not focus yourself there. Focus on the world, and you will believe the world. Believe the world, and you choose to keep the veil, which hides your truth. Focus on your heart in all your thoughts, and you choose against the veil. You choose instead that the veil may be lifted, that you may see your truth, and your brother's truth, and know in the joy of your heart that it is true.
How are we doing on that?
4 minutes.
Well, you know, and it occurs to me that the same thing that we've said several times is happening here, what's being said here, and that is, you know, when we talked about feelings coming up or whatever, and there being that barometer, the barometer of either I'm in my heart, I'm in my right place, I'm in where I want to be, there with the Holy Spirit, my higher mind that intuitively knows where. Anyway, I'm either there, and if I'm not there, then all I have to do is flip that and go, if I'm not there, then it's still a barometer to where I don't want to be, and I want to be in my heart. And it seems like it ought to be simple.
To shift your focus.
Yeah,
and all you can do, it does seem like it ought to be simple. And all you can do is remember when you remember.
Yeah.
When you go, oh, wait a minute, here I am all caught up in my little drama.
Yeah.
And make the shift then. You can't choose the thought if the thought doesn't come in your mind.
Yeah. Right. And I assume at some point,
I mean, you can't remember looking at your heart if you haven't remembered to do that. But yeah, go ahead,
yeah,
is
I
what
mean,
you
yeah,
say.
even looking at it after the fact and going, oh, that's a little disappointing, that I didn't make this choice at that given time. At least I'm making it now. Now the little clerk may not know that.
The gas station, right?
There's a
Right.
gas station.
Yeah, but it does say watch your thoughts and ask them to express your true desire. So that's the
Now,
homework, and focus on your heart in all your thoughts.
right, where's your focus? And that seems like to me it ought to be that easy. Where's your focus?
Where's your focus? Yeah. Ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're like strung out and bouncing off the walls, that's probably a good time to ask it. Where's my focus?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is where I found myself this week. So, yeah. Okay, guys. We love you dearly.
Thanks for letting us talk about this great book and what the Holy Spirit would share with us.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Night-night.